This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Mike Agarbo of The App Show. Of course, you can hear that show Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio, and it repeats throughout the week as well on AMI Audio. In fact, some mornings when I come in, I hear the dulcet tones of Mike Agarbo, which is a nice way to enter the office. Say good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So, Mike, got some big news in the world of Twitter. Twitter has announced a couple of new features, the ability for users to charge their followers for access to, like, premium content. So I want to talk about this a little bit, Mike, because I'm interested and have opinions about this Twitter decision to allow folks to charge for listeners or charge for followers. But do you know why Twitter is doing this?
I think it's all about the money when it comes down to it, and also kind of keeping pace with the other social media platforms that are out there.
Do we have a sense of what this is going to cost the user to be engaged in one of these super follows?
From what I understand, users will be able to actually charge what they want. So, you know, they gave some examples of, you know, potentially charging like $4.99 or $9.90 a month for exclusive content.
Are there other platforms that have tried this approach before, kind of a second paywall inside their social media platform?
Yeah, apparently most of the big guys are doing it, like Facebook and Instagram. YouTube does it now as well, where you can actually pay to be an exclusive member of someone's follower base as well. Patreon's been doing it for years as well. So again, I think it's just another opportunity for Twitter to get more engaged with their users and also, you know, obviously take a cut of the subscription fee as well.
So I called it premium content. What's some of the stuff we might find behind this new paywall?
It could be exclusive tweets. It could also be a subscription as well, or sorry, an e-newsletter subscription as well. So I guess there's all sorts of creative ways that people will be coming up to take advantage of this.
Mike, I like that you sort of rightly identify why Twitter's doing this. And we, of course, quote Nelly from the rap song of the late 90s. Hey, must be the money. But it's like, you know, as you mentioned, there's something to this. Now, we talked about this very, very briefly on the show last Friday, and I've kind of had a chance to ruminate some thoughts on it, because it is fundamentally important to pay content creators for their content. That is a staple of the way that creativity has worked for thousands of years. What kind of blows me away, though, is this notion of what makes for a Twitter account that's going to be worth paying that extra money for. I've heard some analysts talking about, well, what about the people who break news, right? They use the context of the sports world. Adrian Wojnarowski in the NBA, when he breaks a piece of news, it blows up Twitter. But the fact is, all that stuff can get really amalgamated very quickly. So when we're talking about a premium content, this content would have to be extra premium to get money out of my pocket on a monthly basis. What do you think about that?
I think you're right there. You know, it would have to be something pretty special. But there are some Twitter users out there that do have large followings. So, you know, it's a numbers game. If you've got a million followers, you know, if you can even get 5% of those, you know, people signing up for a subscription, say 50,000 people at $5 a month, you can see the numbers add up very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's some serious quiche. The way that I think about it sometimes is in regards to maybe like the YouTube model. Now, I know there's a lot of flaws with the YouTube model as well, but in that case, you're getting paid per click, right? You put up a piece of content and enough people stream your piece of content, you're going to get paid. That always strikes me as maybe the more reasonable model than a subscription service inside social media. Again, barring things like Patreon, right? Where that's something where you've gone out specifically to support a content creator directly.
Yeah, no, I agree somewhat with that as well. But again, you know, if you have a very committed following and user base, again, it's a numbers game. There is going to be a certain percentage that will pay that extra to have, I guess, that more intimate or exclusive connection with you.
But we always get a little bit of a workout climbing all these paywalls this day. So it's nice to have a chat about that one. Hey, Mike, let's stay in the world of Twitter, because they've got some other plans going on their platform. And one has created an auto block feature. So this one sounds like one that's overdue. But how does this auto block feature work?
Well, they announced this along with the new safety mode that is supposedly coming out. But as we know, Twitter has been the haven for many naughty people out there, the white supremacists, former U.S. presidents. So this feature will basically block out any content that it feels is breaking the Twitter's rules of engagement.
Do we know when it's going to be rolled out?
No, they haven't announced a date yet, but I'm interested in this. You know, the new safety mode will also, you know, give you the ability to mute certain individuals that you might find offensive as well. But, you know, that auto block feature, I just can't help but think, well, why don't they just auto block those offending people from everyone instead of just for you individually?
Yeah, I mean, what strikes me here is that typically if there's someone I don't want to hear from, if you do block them, their stuff doesn't really pop up in your feed, right? If, for example, we take that former U.S. president, if you'd chosen to block him 5 years ago, even if somebody retweeted with comments, that still wouldn't come up on your timeline. So although this seems like an overdue feature, I don't know if it truly addresses the core issue of some of the hate speech on Twitter.
It's tough, right? Because, you know, you think of all the millions, what is it, a few hundred million Twitter users out there, and the billions of tweets that are happening. Trying to police that would be insane. You just wouldn't have enough humans to be able to do that. So then, you know, obviously they're using software and algorithms and bots to figure that all out. But that's not perfect either. So I think it's just going to be an ongoing kind of war trying to figure out what to block and what not to.
Speaking of robots, Mike, one of our favorite robot vacuums, the Roomba, is running into some trouble. Some folks are describing the behavior of their Roomba vacuums as, quote, drunk. So I wasn't aware that Roombas could have a drinking problem. I have to lock my liquor cabinet now. What's the problem that Roomba users are having with their devices?
I think they've got some drunk data there. So I guess after a recent update, a few of their models out there, the Roomba S7 and i9, started behaving erratically. They wouldn't return home to their docking or charging base. They would just, you know, go around in circles, continually bumping into the same thing. Maybe sometimes they would go back to the charge base like 8 times in a minute. So it was just kind of crazy behavior. You know, obviously users started noticing this and posting it online.
Do we know what's causing the malfunction within this update?
Well, it was just a bad update, I guess. Okay. iRobot said, you know, they're obviously looking into it. They're sorry. But it could take a few weeks for them to actually fix this problem. Can you imagine you've spent like close to $1,000 on your robot and it's drunk? It's just like wandering aimlessly through the house like a bad drunk uncle. I don't know. Like, that's crazy.
Definitely a matter of concern. Now, you mentioned, of course, like some of these upscale models of the Roomba cost $1,000. Are all models of the Roomba being affected by this?
No, just a couple of them. But it's their newer ones. Again, I think it was the S7 and the i9. And, you know, these aren't the cheap ones, you know. So I would be a little upset if I had spent, you know, some good coin on one of these models. And I mean, you can't vacuum for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It could be weeks.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to be updated.
Well, it's going to be good for the Swiffer business out in this world. Mike, have you messed around with a Roomba type device? Do you have the automated vacuum working in your house?
Okay, I'm an Uber nerd. I think I have 5 of them in my house. You know, I'm a tech guy. They send them to me to review. So I've actually named them after different Sesame Street characters. You know, I've got Bert and Ernie, Big Bird. You know, the mop I've got as well. I call it Kermit. So yeah, my house is full of robots.
Uber nerd, neat freak, and host of the App Show, Mike Agarbo. Mike, always fun chatting with you. Thank you for bringing us these stories.
Thanks.
That's Mike Agarbo. He's the host of the App Show, which you can hear Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio. And we reached Mike this morning from Vancouver, and you can follow Mike on Twitter and, not as of yet a super follow, but he's just a superb person to follow, at Mike Agarbo on Twitter, at Mike Agarbo on Twitter. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.